All right, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls around the world, welcome to the Dad Time Out Show. We are just four dads with 12 kids between us. We're not experts, but we listen to them, we react to them, and we share what we've learned with you, our beloved listeners. There's a little pop culture, a lot of parenting, a lot of laughter, and a lot of experience. Use the other 23 hours in a day to do life. But for this, put your ears on and come hang out with us. It's a place to put your feet up or down if you're exercising, or driving, or food shopping, or something like that. The guys are back in the yard, and we've got a big show for you tonight with the running theme of, no pun intended, the events everybody's talking about, the Olympics. We'll also cover all the things you know and love, including our super shout-outs, parent tweets of the week, dad jokes, and much more. In our Smart Articles by Smart People segment, we'll be talking about an article titled The Important Lessons Sports Parents Need to Learn from Simone Biles. And that is from the Today Show, so we'll be eager to discuss that with the guys when they come around the corner. Also, we'll have some fun Would You Rathers, America's newest game show sensation, and finally, things that make us smile. Speaking of things that make me smile, I have one of my favorite people right in front of me. What's your name, ma'am?
Lola.
Lola, I see you are wearing a costume. Can you tell me why you're wearing a costume and what tomorrow's big day is?
Tomorrow at camp, we are going to dress up as something for Halloween. It's technically only Halloween, but in the summer.
Oh, man, that is amazeballs. And I know that you brought out a joke for us tonight. Does it have a theme of the Olympics, maybe?
It does.
Okay, what is it?
What is the fastest bug at the Olympics?
What is the fastest bug at the Olympics? I have no idea.
The quick it.
The quick it? The quick it. I love it. Thank you, Lola. Give yourself a nice round of applause. All right, go on in. Have some dinner. I love you very much, and I will see you in an hour and 3 minutes.
Gathered together from the cosmic reaches of the universe, here in this great hall of justice, are the most powerful forces of good ever assembled, dedicated to truth, justice, and peace for all mankind.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Dad Time Out Show.
All right, welcome in, guys. How are you tonight?
Hey there.
Good evening, good. MK.
I like how Ben started the yard talk. He just said, oh, it's such a beautiful night out here.
It is.
It's like not hot or cold in any capacity. It's just right there in the middle where you want to be.
Hold on, Ben. Let me boost your mic.
Oh, you want to boost it?
Because it's not. There we go. Now you're sounding good.
Bring me up.
Bringing him up. Welcome. How's everybody's week? I know Mark's been traveling. Ben's got his family in Europe coming back.
They're back, baby. I'm
they're back today, right?
0 to 60, man. You're hanging on.
Well, welcome back to Saskia and the kids. I'm sure you're happy to see them.
Very.
Ben and I had the big night out.
Yeah, we saw the pictures.
On Monday.
I call it the medium night out.
Having a good time.
It was a medium night out.
Medium night out.
We did not go that big. Yeah.
Two guys roaming around a quiet street is what it boiled down to. But, you know, we're pushing 70 now, so, you know, it's good. Hey, so I don't mean to start on a challenge here, but I do believe the last episode. Well, first of all, let's talk about what we're going to talk about. We got a lot going on tonight. We're going to parent tweets of the week, but the theme is basically the Olympics, right?
Yeah.
They're kind of unavoidable. Are you watching? Are you not watching? Oh, I know Ben and I, on our man's night out, we watched several things, including the Alaskan athlete that won the swimming.
That was amazing.
And the families in the backstories. The whole town of Seward was going nuts.
That was nuts.
Yeah. Well, it's on 24 hours a day in my house. You guys?
So fun.
I was up. I was in Missouri, and I was up till 1-2 o'clock in the morning watching Olympics with my
and eating toasted raviolis.
No, there were no toasted raviolis consumed on this trip. However, I did watch a lot of Olympics, and as my kids are all competitive swimmers, getting to watch all the swimming was awesome. Watching the skateboarding was unique.
Yeah, skateboarding was
the
cool.
3-on-3 basketball. So you know, it's been. Been kind of a treat.
Well, then you'll enjoy tonight's episode, Mark, because we're going to talk a lot about the Olympics.
I love it. Thank you.
A lot of themology. Dun 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 dun.
The songs, man.
So speaking of the first medal, Mark does not get into the medal round because the last challenge on the last episode, he was supposed to bring his canned goods over. Do you see him having canned goods? No, so for our listeners that may have missed the last episode, Mark was talking profusely about his skill set in the canning arena.
I did.
Peaches, spaghetti sauce that'll knock your socks off, to quote him. What was the other? Plums?
No. Just peaches, pickles.
Pickles.
And tomatoes.
Did
and
you bring them tonight?
I did not, however. I can say I just got back in town from a trip, and I'm very tired. I flew all the way here.
Boy, my arm's tired.
So. Give him a break.
Give him a break. He just got off the plane. Come on, you can't be pickling.
Next time.
Pickling on the plane. All right.
All right, well, I'm sure we'll have a chance to rebound on the Harvey Challenge series. Speaking of that.
Yes.
I have had a fun competition with Mark that has no input on his end yet, but I'm sure it's coming. I don't know if you guys know this, but I have a juicer.
Oh, yeah.
And I've been juicing everything. And I send Mark a picture of the juice that I make every morning.
Daily.
Whether he wants it or not, I send it to him.
I love it.
Sometimes it's green. Sometimes it's orange. Sometimes it's got a purple carrot in it. I don't know. I'm juice palooza over here.
It's inspirational, actually. I need my juicer is just so large. It takes up like two-thirds of my counter space. It's industrial strength. So
keep that thing in the garage.
We'll get there.
My wife saw some hipster Instagram post and had the I use this juicer, but then she does the Consumer Reports version of it, and then she goes and looks it up, and she ended up getting this really Cuisinart. It's not a huge brand, but it's a really nice one, and this sucker breaks down in like maybe a minute. I timed it.
How much are we paying for
I don't know how much it was, to be honest.
Like a pro grade juicer, like
okay,
you got.
My juicer is a champion juicer. It's the kind that added health. It's kind of health food stores.
No, I have seriously. Juicer envy.
Here we go. And I think I probably spent $350 to $400 back in 1974.
That's a lot of juice, man.
So yeah, it's
a lot of V8s that you could have bought.
I mean, it's one of those $400. Things. Everybody thinks, yeah, that I'm going to do this. I'll use it every day. It's amazing. And unless you really get into it, it just sits in
your head. You're rocking it every day, you're saying, right?
Yeah, I'm rocking it every day. And I also am rocking my bike. People also made fun saying it would be a clothes hanger within a month. And I am rocking like 46 days straight this time.
Nice.
We were out of range in a national park, so I didn't get the app going. And I broke my streak. But I am on it like, yes. Juicing and biking, but yet my face remains the size of the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man from Ghostbusters.
No.
I gain everything in my face. It's the weirdest thing.
I told you about face yoga. Have you been doing that every day?
Yeah, you want
to try the face yoga?
I've thought about it.
I do it every day. It takes 5 minutes.
Then I get embarrassed.
Well, what are you juicing?
He said everything, man.
Okay. I know, but
jalapenos, lemons. Grab it. Carrots, ginger,
yeah.
Flowers.
Donuts? Can you juice a donut?
Huh?
No. No, you can't juice a donut.
Just throw everything in there.
No.
I have on occasion, though, I thought, dip a little rum in there. It might make it fun. But I don't because it's like 9 a.m. in the morning. Carrots, ginger, celery, tomatoes, apples, pear, you name it. If it's juiceable, I'm juicing it. All right. So on to our IG shout-outs. These are people that we've interacted with on Instagram or we've had a nice chat with, or we just enjoy their content, or they've commented, or whatever. They're just cool. So we highly recommend interacting with them or following them at dad.life.club, at survivingmomblog, at dads.spot, at dadsftw, which the kids all know.
For the win.
For the win, dadsftw. At every family's got one show, at Bay Area Dad Life. By the way, Bay Area Dad Life. Doing the math here?
I love it.
I invited him over. I said, if we do a live show next month, come on over. At dreamsdad.org. Oh, that's my son playing with his Hot Wheels. At dreamdads.org. At Bay Area Girl Dad. We have two Bay Area followers.
Come on. That's Bay Area Girl Dad.
We have more people in London than we have in the Bay Area, but I'll take it. And then finally, at Dadding Greatly, who was actually in Montana, and I was trading kind of like old guys do, like, hey, well, you should check out the, you know, blah, blah, blah path on this trail, and then don't take Route 44 because the detour might take you through the bypass and all that kind of stuff. So at Dadding Greatly. And then that's all I have on the Instagram front, but we want to thank all of our listeners. Please be sure to follow us, like, and subscribe and all that stuff. We are growing, and it's awesome. We're almost at 700 followers now. That we kind of creep up every month further and further. So that's all exciting. So welcome in. Welcome back, Mark. Welcome home, your family. And, Chris, welcome back from your golf tournament. Coming up next, Parent Tweets of the Week.
Time now for the Tweets of the Week. Tweet, tweet, tweet.
All right, time for Parent Tweets of the Week. And funny, Mark, you just mentioned off-air, as we call it here in the industry, Exploding Unicorn.
Yes.
And all our tweets tonight are sort of Olympic-themed. And the first one is from Exploding Unicorn.
Mm. Awesome.
All right. He says, Michael Phelps is my age. He has 19 gold medals. I have a picture on a restaurant wall for eating a big hamburger. We both led full lives.
That's awesome.
Also,
beauty is in the eye, right?
Yes.
I mean,
yes.
An accomplishment's accomplishment. Phelpsy.
Yeah.
He's looking good. He's on. He's doing the broadcasting now.
I loved watching him talk.
Looks like a singer-songwriter, yeah.
Yeah.
You right? Kind of look like Phelps.
He meaning looks like me? Sure.
I'm older. Yeah. Don't make me get my app out right now.
Oh, who's older?
Throw you on a beetle for some reason.
Same, man.
All right. Michael Phelps. By the way, I've met Michael Phelps, fun fact, once. His mother is actually really funny, and there's a whole story around that. But anyway. All right, the next one's from at Simon C. Holland.
Oh, yeah.
This is like the Olympians of Twitter.
It is, right? Pretty much.
These are all the big guns. Simon C. Holland says, the biggest thing standing between my daughter and her Olympic swimming dreams is her inability to adjust her own goggles. Come on, man. Do you see your kids swim?
Oh,
yeah. It's
it's the worst.
Just
for years, it's every 4 seconds they'd come back with a goggle problem, and you have to do the strap, and then you get the little bar over.
Well, it's amazing that goggle technology hasn't.
How is that?
More. I know. Just like it's still the stupid little thing. And
well, but I will tell you, it's not just technology. So all of my kids are competitive swimmers, and
we know that. Well, I've heard that somewhere.
Do the fans know that?
Oh, yeah, that's true.
So anyhow,
your tattoo across your shoulder blades pretty much says it all.
Swimming? No, I'm not a swimmer. My wife is a swimmer. Anyhow, my son one time was in a competitive race, and he got on the blocks. He put his goggles on, dove in the pool. Halfway through the pool, he's yanking his goggles off. He's losing the race. We're like, what happened? He had a Skittle stuck in his goggles. And so that's part
funny.
Of the problem.
Did it start melting?
How did he get a Skittle in there?
Well, because
he must have started with the Skittle.
Part
in
of the problem with swim team. Okay, understand swim team. You swim, and then you eat massive amounts of candy while your parents sit under a canopy wondering when your next race is. Mm. Meanwhile, you're running around the pool eating candy. So he had a parka full of Skittles 1 minute into his goggles.
Wow.
Because that's where his goggles go in the same pocket as the Skittles.
Yeah, you got to separate the
Skittles.
Because
it's all combo
Skittles.
Time.
Yeah. That's
really
and
weird.
Then he... Anyway. Yeah, that's
okay. I don't have any competitive swimmers. I would call mine competitive splashers. We're going to go on to at CheeseBoy22, who says, moms everywhere are going to be so pissed when they see that they don't get to put a giant net around the trampoline in the Olympics. You guys have tramps?
No, would. No. I mean, I can't think of anything that absorbs more of kids' times, so we don't have room in our yard, but we would in a moment. We could.
Where's yours? I'm surprised you don't have one.
No.
Yeah, it's right up your alley.
My kids would
see,
not.
This would be the perfect spot for one.
I can't believe how long they can bounce.
No bones broken on this property.
Yeah, I was going to say, you're waiting for broken bones?
There are things that I'll let roll, and there are things that I'm like, that is just a disaster waiting to happen.
Make a tramp in the house, though?
I'm not knocking it.
With you know,
more power to people that have them. I'm just saying it's not my cup of tea. I'd be nervously looking out that window. Let's put it this way. Our friend has one, and several of the kids are all friends. Two incidents now we've had broken or dislocated. Ooh. Just in the brief amount of time that we've been at that particular.
Kids need to get more coordinated. Sounds like
there's older, younger, mid. There's
more
there's,
padding. More padding.
I was thinking more for you.
There's a whole Lord of the Flies thing that goes on those trampolines too. It's like
it's good for them.
But if you have one, hey, more power to you.
Yeah.
All right. So that's from at CheeseBoy22. This is actually a really interesting thing that I looked up. At Ed_Sun, in the horse stuff at the Olympics, do the horses get medals? They should get big medals on massive ribbons to go around their necks.
I would watch that.
I like that.
Yeah.
Well, then they can hang out in the barn and be like,
"Ey!" Yeah. Right?
That's pretty amazing, actually. I mean,
why not?
At the derbies, they get the flower wreaths and stuff. They should get a big ass gold medal.
Just get extra apples or something and like call it good, right?
It really is silly that they're, yeah.
Well, so that led me to the next tier of the Google. And I'm like, all right, how do the horses like get over there? So Springsteen's daughter's doing dressage this year, I believe. And she's supposed to be really good. That's next week. Here's the question that I looked up. Curious how dressage horses are transported overseas. Obviously a plane, but like how was the question. Horses are loaded in a 2-per-stall plane. They fly with a support staff of vets and groomers who, among other things, try to make sure they stay calm. Stallions travel at the front of the plane so they're not distracted by the mares. And just like people, they need passports.
No. Wow.
That was a fun fact from a reliable source. All right, so we're off.
There we go.
The races are off. We're off to Randy Lawson, at Randy Lawson, at RANDILAWSON. Watching Olympics proves that I shouldn't be on a jury because it only takes 30 seconds of backstory for me to root from anyone unconditionally.
Right?
They do a good job with those backstories, man. By the end of it, you're crying every time.
It's like, wait, but they're cool too.
Yeah, I mean, that's the best part of the Olympics, right? Mm-hmm. It's this in sports in general, right? When you're hearing these tremendous backstories, there's so many funny memes right now. Just guys laying in bed eating chips. He's screaming at swimmers like go go go. But I do find like once I find out the guy or the girl is from the small place or has the unfortunate situation or has trained their whole life, you know, and they had the footage of them being a child. I don't care what country you're from. Like, I am full on in. We were watching like 1 a.m. women's water polo, and they were giving back and forth stories. Yeah. Like, well, the Hungarians have da 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 da. I'm like, all right, well, maybe they should get a couple more goals just to kind of iron it out.
I mean, at that level, there's always a backstory, right? Like that level of sacrifice to get to be an Olympic athlete for sure. You know, there's always a story back.
Oh, 100%.
That's what I mean. Other than the competition, knowing about the people makes it personalizes it, makes it more enjoyable to watch because at that point you're invested, which is the point of the tweet. It's all about investment.
All right, we'll just go through 3 quick ones, and then we'll jump right on down to smart articles by smart people. This is from at Catherine LMK. Thank goodness the commentator pointed out that athletes came here to win. Huh. Cleared up a lot of confusion for me.
Right?
And this is full respect to announcers and commentators because their job is way more than what you see on camera or on the field. But I always, when I watch that reporter that gets assigned to, like, interview the coach – on the way into the locker room, like, hey, coach, what are you going to do? You're down 30-0. Well, we're going to play some offense next half, and we're going to throw the ball far because it's always like, hey, what are you going to do? Well, we're going to try and hit the pitcher further and get it in the gaps because, you know, we're down by 6 in the 8th inning. But, yeah, so that's that. We get it. We got it. At Eric Hutchinson. Good point. They need to throw one normal person in the Olympic swimming pool lanes just for context.
I remember watching the other night. I was like, I wonder where I would be when the women's backstroke was going on. I was like,
oh my gosh,
let me freestyle.
Yeah,
I was like, where would I be if I freestyled against the women's backstroke or breaststroke, for that matter?
When you're watching some of it, some people look like literally. There's 3 or 4 people who are like very far ahead, and then there's somebody who's like pulling up the tail, and that person is probably 50 times faster than any of us. But the point is that's where you really have that revelation of, oh my gosh, there was a world record broken I think it was last night. Who knows when it was recorded? But I mean, just watching it was ridiculous. I think America came in second and third, and I forgot who the first place swimmer was. But still, it was like just the numbers were staggering. And because my kids are swimmers, we're always looking at the numbers going,
Do your kids swim? Your kids swim?
You guys.
Competitively?
Fun fact, my kids swim competitively.
Wow.
Yeah, right. Just in case you didn't know.
Don't you? That was a layup, man. Come on. You.
Yeah, you put a ball on a tee. You got to expect us to hit it.
I'm here for you guys, man. I'm here for you.
Smart articles by smart people. The important lesson sports parents need to learn from Simone Biles. Change gears, coming up next.
Articles by smart people.
All right, smart articles by smart people tonight from the New York Times. And it's by Paul L. Underwood. And it's interesting because before I get into it, the name of the article is News Too Scary for Kids is the name of this article. I sent you this, Chris, and I just said, you know, what do you guys think? Because I give you a little pass at our topics before we get in so we're not, you know, completely caught off guard. And you had some apprehension. And I said, well, let me see if there's anything else out there that can kind of round it out. And then because of all the events that have just unfolded on January 5th and 6th, now there are like 7 or 8 articles all around this topic, these subjects. And, you know, like I say, we don't want to get into the minutiae of what's happening out there. You have the rest of your day to do that. But we do talk about how those things and events unfold in our houses and how we deal with them as parents. I mean, we started back into all these, the new version of the podcast, so to speak, during the elections, and we went through all that, and how are we talking about the elections with our kids, and how we're doing this. So yesterday, of course, we all know the Capitol was stormed, and there's a long tail story to that, but that's the boilerplate. It was stormed, taken over, and then they were eventually kicked out. There's a lot of different, there's hundreds of subplots, but my 7th grader came in and they had already been talking about it on their Google chats outside of class. And that's the way it usually happens, but they're at school and they come home and they're like, hey, what is this? What's that? Now with her, we've always had the theory of if they're old enough to ask, they're old enough to get an answer. And we try to keep our information age appropriate for each child. We know, obviously, that our 6-year-old should not be seeing graphic images, should not be seeing anything semi-scary, questionable, things that make us as adults uneasy. They definitely should not be watching.
Yeah.
My daughter and I have a very good relationship. We're very open. We chat regularly, my oldest. My younger son, who's 10 in 5th grade, we are a little lesser degree of that. But what I found with him yesterday is I got to explain to him again why the Electoral College certification was so important, how government works, what the Senate is doing, what is this vote about, what is happening all around this vote. And I try not to draw my own personal either anger or elation into the conversation. I try to just deliver it. Then we explain where our position is as a family, you know, morally, with the morals that we're learning as a family. And so far, that has worked. So, you know, our kids are 7th grade, 5th grade, and 1st grade. So to kind of distill my answer, we don't have the news on at all in our house, period. We're not news watchers. We never have been. We're just not there. We watch an event if it's important enough to watch. But as you see how my house is laid out, that's usually on this screen if it needs to be, or that screen. I'm pointing to our backyard studio. And it's not in the main house because I just don't think that I should age my kids up by yanking that
exactly. momentum chain forward.
Right.
How do you guys, because Mark, you have three and an older one. Forget the age, sorry.
21, 14, 10, 5.
Yeah. So you've got a real range. So why don't we just do, doesn't have to be a heavy round top, but like, let's just talk openly about how you're handling this current cycle. Because Ben, you had a really poignant answer as well. And this was just through our text prepping for the show. Mm-hmm. And I totally respect and understand that. Like I wouldn't have that on either, but go ahead, Mark.
Yeah, no, I we don't have the news on in our house either. If we do, we'll put it on late when the kids aren't awake. My 5-year-old is oblivious to what's going on, family and what we think about it. The 14-year-old obviously has more questions and more. It's a different dialogue, obviously, and you know. But he's picking up things from friends, from social media, not really checking a whole lot of news sources himself. So he'll share his. He's much more opinionated. He'll be like, "This is my thought. This is how I feel." And then, you know, we'll talk about it and try and, you know, see how it lines up to the family values. And just,
oh, that's interesting because our daughter, our oldest, is not on social media.
Yeah.
She doesn't have a phone.
Yeah.
But she is allowed to Google chat or instant message her sure. classmates and
it
or changed, Girl
Scout
friends.
It changes
friends,
once,
you know,
you have that, once you have that
right,
device.
That's what
it's
I'm
a
saying,
whole
yeah.
different animal. So, you know, it's but I agree with the articles that I read as far as, you know, we check Common Sense Media all the time for movies
right,
and for other
right.
things. Yeah. And so I think the seven-year-old, which was referenced in one of the two articles that I read.
Both of them. What's Common Sense?
Common Sense Media is a website that you can log in. You can actually plug in the name. You can plug in a movie, and it'll tell you what they think and what kids think and what parents think. And then you can kind of go, okay. And then it'll also give you a breakdown of what might be weird in the movie or scary in the movie
cool
or
violence,
inappropriate.
It's a great
swearing.
Resource.
Yeah, yeah, it's fantastic. And then you can choose for yourself. Oh, okay. I don't want my 5-year-old to watch that movie. Or this is not against what my family values are or what I think.
I
that
like
they
being
can
a
handle.
Few years behind you guys. You're the threshing floor.
I have a 21-year-old man. I've been around.
But that's what we say, right? Like part of the magic or allure of this show is that we have such a range of things that are going on, and we're dealing with so many different ages.
21 to 4, is that our range?
21 to 5.
Yeah.
Mo's is 4, so thanks for remembering. Yeah, my kid. Yeah. I don't know your kids. They just, it's okay.
So, Chris?
I mean, for me, it's like I definitely have had the news on more lately, but, you know, during the quarantine and everything, my family is pretty much like all in their own screen, which is horrible when
That's
I think
weird,
about
isn't it?
It. But like everyone's like, you know, they're on their laptops for Zoom calls for school and everything. And then when they're not, they're kind of like on their phones, socializing with their friends and doing their social media thing and gaming and whatnot. And so that's kind of like I've been kind of glued to the news. And, you know, to be honest, like it's been something I've kind of been sheltering my kids from. Like Ben was saying, even though my oldest is 15 and my youngest is 12, I know that they probably know what's going on. But, you know, I definitely want to take the opportunity to, you know, use this as a chance to talk about this a little bit more. But as of now, I'm still processing things and kind of coming up with my own thing. And it all happened so suddenly anyway. So
yeah.
I'm still kind of like figuring out like where I'm at with everything. But definitely, yeah, like my kids haven't really even, I think they're in their own world on their own screen. So,
it's very easy to assume that kids, like, we know it's not true, but we so often act like our kids are in the same mind space as us and we drag them into adult problems. I witnessed that in a few different instances. It's just like adults kind of like, we need to teach them. And there was an instance at our school once that something happened and the kids were oblivious because they're like 5 and 6 years old and adults are in this emotional frenzy and the kids are just looking around like, what is going on? And I yanked my kids right then at school because I was like, you guys are using this as some kind of catharsis for your own, you know, angst or your frustrations, and the kids are caught in the middle. My take on the whole thing is my kids are younger. As long as we're not dragging them into things for our own, you know, the way we need to deal with it ourselves, you know, and yeah, to remember my 7-year-old, then again, like, if she asked, she asked today, it was like, what was that? And I was like, yeah, you know, it was this. She's like, oh, okay. Moving on, like, in her little mind. So, yeah.
Yeah, most kids turn and burn, you know. Yeah,
turn and burn.
I do think, and I know of parents that indoctrinate their kids with their philosophies hard and fast. And if the parent's wearing the hat, the kid's wearing the hat. That's all I'm going to say about that. That wasn't Dr. Seuss either. It's always tricky times. It started in school. We got cold water in the very beginning when, you know, the first came home with the story that was spreading, and the older kids in the school were telling the younger kids about it. And we're like, how did you find that? And then here it goes. Mm-hmm. Like, you're off. It's going to happen inevitably.
Yeah.
You know, it's going to happen. But we try to check in with our kids regularly. We try to, I don't say story tell. We try, if my wife and I don't know the answers or don't have an opinion immediately, we will say, let's hold on that, put a pin in it, and we'll get together and talk about it and be like, how are we going to present this? It's funny because this whole run, we'll call it, has been filled with exuberation and deflation and exuberation and deflation over and over. And I mean, we can even fold the pandemic into this whole conversation, but again, I don't think shielding is a great method, you know. It, like they say in the article, age 7, if they're old enough, and this happened at like a random softball practice, and they were talking about body odor or something, and the mother next to me goes, they're old enough to ask, they're old enough to get an answer, and we've kind of adopted that the whole time, so.
Nugget.
Anyway, there's a ton of research out there if you don't know much about how to present these things to your kids. And, you know, unfortunately, life is not smooth right now. As we say, well, when we grew up, you know, back in the 80s. But you'll get there. We'll all get there. And we'll all get through all this. You know, the blessing is that we're all healthy. And we're all sitting here. And the future is ahead of us. And we can change the future. And we can make the future brighter. So that was my smart article by Smart Person coming from the New York Times. But obviously, this is a rich topic and covered in many periodicals, and many smarter psychiatrists, psychologists break all that down. But we'll post the article link up just in case you guys want to check it out as well. Thank you. Coming up next is 3-2-1 go. I think we'll lighten it back up again and we'll do a little this or that. And we'll see where we end up. Coming up next, 3-2-1 go. All right, guys, since it is a heavier week, I thought we could have a little fun down the home stretch. This is very quick, answer fast, no long conversations. 3-2-1 go. Would you rather, this better be the right answer, if you have free time, read books or listen to a podcast?
I'm listening to a podcast.
I mean, do we really need to answer? Listen to a podcast.
Listen to a podcast.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And what podcast would you listen to, Mark?
The Dad Time Out Show.
Ben, how about you?
The Dad Time Out Show.
Chris?
All right.
Oh, that's funny, because I would listen to What Fresh Hell Is This?
And The Daily. I've been on The Daily a lot.
All right. So, well, this was pretty predictable, but would you rather cook food or order in? Mark?
Cook food.
Depending on the day, but I'm going to say cook food if I had time.
Okay.
I like cooking food too, yeah. But the ordering in, also very special.
What are the other?
I'm going to say order in then.
It's a weighted answer as yeah, the no benefits joke. To both, definitely.
Not fair.
Waking up early or sleeping in?
Oh, sleeping in. Come on, man.
No.
Waking up early.
I'm getting old. Oh, I wake up early, and I kind of enjoy it.
Oh, really?
I hate to say that.
Oh, come on. That's good.
I do. Jennifer, my wife, will get up now. By the way, we have to remember to thank her for tonight's beverage.
Thank you.
This is great, dude. What is it? The airdrop?
It's an airmail.
Airmail is a fantastic beverage.
Maybe it can sponsor this segment. Airmail is the name of the beverage, and it was brought to us by Coco in Cashmere, which is an Instagram account. Delicious. At Coco in Cashmere. Nice. C-O-C-O in Cashmere. It's called the Airmail is tonight's beverage.
It's delicious.
Hashtag. Nice. It's delicious.
Okay. And then would you rather paint or sketch?
Paint.
Paint or sketch?
I'm just going to tell
creatively. Paint.
Paint or sketch?
Paint.
Really?
Maybe sketch, I think. I'm going back to sketch. Paint sounds messy.
I think paint's a lot of effort.
Yeah, is
effort.
This mean we can sketchy. Paint or sketch?
I've gotten into doodling. Doodling's my new jam.
Oh, that was yeah. Doodled an option?
Doodle was not an option.
All right, here's one for you. Would you rather go to the beach or go to the mountains?
Mountains.
Mountains. Beach. Yeah. Maybe mountains. I'm going mountains.
Mountains.
Mountains?
Skiing.
If I say it three times, does it win? Yeah.
Mountains, mountains, mountains.
We're all mountains.
See, if you had said ocean, I'd pick ocean over, because I'm not a beach fan, but I love the ocean.
Work out or relax?
Work out.
Relax. Relax.
Relax.
Hey, no.
I like working out to relax.
Two to two.
I like getting through with it, and then, okay, time. All right, it's time for the game show that's sweeping the country, or the one that kids make me play in the minivan constantly right now, this phase in life, called Would You Rather? We have a couple questions, and they're very easy. The guys have not seen the correct answers, nor do they know the questions. So this is as close to a legitimate game show as we can get. Would you rather, question number one. We'll start with a little bit of comedy. Would you rather bark like a dog whenever you're angry or flap your arms like a bird whenever you're happy?
I do the dog already, dog. I feel like.
Man. Really?
I'm already doing that.
I'm really having trouble with this question. I can't get into it.
Say, Chris?
No
I,
comment.
I feel like I already do that, the dog barking. Bark like when I'm angry, oh yeah.
Really? I'd rather flap my arms when I'm happy.
I think it kind of...
I think it's cute.
It might, just, yeah.
Hey, everybody.
It might de-escalate the situation.
I'm flapping for people that are listening. Hey, good morning, everybody. And it's very good for your shoulders.
I guess so.
Your
yeah.
triceps, your yeah.
I think that it's question was written by someone who does both.
Flap yeah. your arms like a bird whenever you're happy is my. And who wants to bark like a dog? What if you're angry all the time and you're just constantly barking?
Trying not to.
You're yeah. thinking things in the car and you're just barking, and you pull up in intersections and with your windows
yeah,
down.
Pretty much.
Okay, here's a more of a deep one. Would you rather go into the past and meet your ancestors or go into the future and meet your great-great-grandchildren?
Past.
Wait a minute.
Don't mess with the future, bro. Or the past. Oh, my gosh.
The past and meet your great-grandparents? Like, back to the future.
No.
Would you rather go into the past and meet your ancestors
or go into the future? The future will tell you about things that you maybe shouldn't know about. Ooh, and that yes, will alter
that's true.
The space-time continuum.
Like oh, my gosh. And then we can do, like, the Biff World thing, right, where you get the almanac? Yes, I'm
right,
doing the
future.
Oh, yeah. I'll do the future.
I'm going future.
Yes. All right.
I'm going future.
Yes.
I stick to the questions. And the question is very clear.
Yeah.
Would you rather go into the past and meet your ancestors or go into the future and meet your great-great-grandchildren?
Exactly. Great-great-grandchildren.
What if you don't have any? That would be a bummer.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Then you're just standing there in a parking lot. And that would be awful. But I'd rather meet my great-great-grandchildren.
All right.
Then I could ask them questions
exactly
about their ancestors. So there's a workaround here.
And also who won the World Series?
I don't want to know the future. That I guess that's the story.
You're meeting a child here. Let's just be clear on the question once again.
Grandchildren.
Great-great-grandchildren.
Yeah.
All right. Moving on.
They might weird, know. Though. They know.
That right. is kind of weird. Who's that old guy?
All right. Here's another heavier one. Would you rather have a rewind button or a pause button on your life?
Pause. Ooh.
Pause would be good.
Pause.
But I'm thinking rewind, because then it's like Groundhog Day. You can keep trying it again and again when you mess up. Oh, that didn't work. I probably shouldn't have said that.
There was a Twilight Zone where a lady had a pause button on life.
Was there?
Yeah, it was super interesting. I still think about it. I saw it as a kid, and she could say, shut up. And when she said, shut up, the whole world stopped.
Oh, yeah, wasn't that Twilight Zone?
It was a Twilight Zone.
Yeah.
That's what I said.
That was a good one. Yeah.
And I think about it all the time. I said, I wish I could do that right now. Shut up.
Can you watch the Twilight Zones anymore?
It was an older. Oh, yeah? There was a remake in like the 80s or 90s of the first mm-hmm. gen, and that's when she said shut up and she paused a Russian nuclear warhead from hitting her
and
small
she couldn't
town.
Unfreeze it.
She couldn't unfreeze it.
But if you had a rewind button,
rewind. See what I'm saying? That's superior than pause, of course.
I think rewind's superior.
Absolutely. Yeah.
See, I could even go back on my answer right there because I can rewind. Exactly. Ben can just pause and move forward.
I've been wrong on both these answers, and they don't even have a right answer.
I'm going rewind, too.
Jeez.
I know. Mark, he's a little quieter, but I was getting worried.
No. I just
rewind?
Oh, yes.
What would you rewind from the last week if you had one moment to rewind?
I'd go back like 18 months, man. I mean,
yeah, yeah.
2-3 years.
That's the thing. Do you have to relive the entire?
That's the thing. Do you have to relive the whole time period or like the last section?
I mean, there are a lot of things I would scrub out of the life. You know, I was even driving here today, like thinking, oh, man, in high school, I really wish I didn't do that. And, oh, I can't believe I said that to my fourth grade teacher. I mean, there's so many of those little
there's a lot of holes
times where I just kind of obsess about it. Maybe that's just me, but I would totally rewind and smack myself.
That's why it's in a children's Would You Rather game.
Ben. The thing is
there's a lot of holes in these questions.
Well, yeah, because you get too heady. You start thinking about, like, I always look at my life and go, I'm okay where I am because if this hadn't happened, that hadn't happened, I wouldn't be where I am today. Yeah. I wouldn't mind slight rewinds.
Guess so.
But I wouldn't want to go like major rewind.
Like I wish I didn't order the tacos. Wish I got the
right
the burrito. Is that right? That type of thing. All right.
Well, I'm gonna go rewind. All right. So here's the final one, and it is. Well, let's do two more. This one's pretty obvious to me, but you guys always seem to surprise me. Would you rather have more time or more money?
More time. Absolutely.
More time.
Absolutely.
Drum roll.
Mark.
Oh, Mark. You're
giving it some thought.
Just be honest, Mark.
Father Mark,
I mean, you know, is contemplating over overrated? There. I think time's the most precious.
Yeah, time really is. Yeah.
I mean, you know, having a ton of money, but in the Twilight Zone, like you would only have five minutes
time
left.
Time is definitely.
Yeah. Yeah.
Pause.
Time is definitely.
It's all about time.
Yeah, it is all about time.
Love it.
It's all about time.
It's all about time.
Some of the most unhappy people I've met in this life are some of the wealthiest people I've met in this life.
Exactly.
Boom. Time. Unanimous. Moving on.
Remind me.
All right. Coming up next, the Olympic quiz questions coming from a website called The Ultimate Quiz Questions. Coming up next, the Olympics quiz. Let's see how much you guys know.
Time now for the dad quiz. Parent quiz. Quiz.
All right, it's time for the parent quiz of the week, and then we will finish up with things that make us smile. This is going to be 15 fast questions. These are all legit questions tonight. No holes in the questions. These are all multiple choice for your pleasure. You always fare better when it's multiple choice, so I made it that way for you. I rewrote these. No, I didn't do anything. I just pulled up a website. All right, here we go. The USA won the most gold medals in the 1996 Olympic Games. In which city were those games held? Lake Placid, Atlanta, Los Angeles, or St. Louis? 1996
Atlanta.
Olympic Games.
Atlanta.
Yeah.
Bonus question. Who lit the torch?
Carl Lewis.
Muhammad Ali. Okay, number two.
Right, that's right.
The record for the most medals won by an Olympic athlete is 28. Who holds that record? Usain Bolt, Mark Spitz, Michael Phelps, or Paavo Nurmi?
Who?
Did Michael Phelps beat Mark Spitz? He was the record holder, right?
Has the most medals.
I miss Usain Bolt. Yeah. He was awesome to watch.
I'd be very surprised if it wasn't Phelps.
Yeah.
It's Phelpsy.
Phelpsy, as I call him. Phelpsy. Michael Phelps, yes, 28. The Olympic flame is lit in which ancient Greek city? Athens, Olympia, Delphi, or Herculean?
Say Athens.
Hold on. Yeah, Athens is...
Or Heraklion. Although
Herculean sounds kind of like Hercules.
Heraklion.
I'm still say Athens. I think that's the...
Sorry if you're from Greece and I mispronounced that name.
Well, that was where the marathon got invented.
But correct answer is Olympia.
Yeah,
okay, of course.
Yes.
I mean, it was a trick question. It's a trick question.
Yeah.
Is it? I guess.
Mark had no response on that one, for the record. The first modern Olympic Games were held in 1896, 1,500 years after being banned by Roman Emperor Theodosius I. In which city were the modern Games held?
Athens,
London, New York, or Berlin?
It's got to be Athens.
It's got to be Athens. Or is that the ancient?
Another trick question.
Correct answer.
Athens.
It's also the birthplace of REM.
Oh, it's not Athens. Oh, it is Athens.
That's not Georgia. It's
nice.
Athens,
and the
Greece.
University of Georgia.
Wow.
But we're talking Athens, Greece, of course. Which one of the following new sports will be included in the 2021 Olympic Games, which we're now watching? So this is kind of a current event. Dart, cricket, bowling, or surfing?
Surfing.
Surfing.
Is it really?
That's the new one. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And it's been really fun to watch. Oh,
yes,
really?
It is surfing.
In Japan.
And yes, it was a really fun event to
watch. Super fun to watch.
Because of the typhoon, was it, or monsoon?
Oh, man, surfing in a monsoon.
Something came through and it kicked up the surf because they would traditionally have very small waves. It was a blast.
It was awesome to watch.
And bravo to the people that even got in the water.
Sweet.
That's
3 a.m. Olympic watching.
I know.
All right, next question. Jamaica entered the 1988 Winter Olympic Games for the first time competing in what sport? There was a movie. Yes, bobsledding.
Cool running.
No problem. The 2016 Summer Olympics were the first to what? To include samba dancing as a sport, to be hosted in South America, to award a solid gold medal, or to introduce sailing as a sport?
Sailing. Mm,
I like the sailing one. To be hosted in South America, because as you know, they were held in Rio. London 2012 was the last time the city held the Olympic Games, but how many times has London hosted the Games?
Three.
Two, three, four, five.
Three.
All right. We've got to
four.
It says three, four.
Or two. I'm going to go two.
Correct answer is three.
Nice.
Good knowledge, knew that Ben.
I'm just going to be contrarian, that's why.
It's contrarian.
Agrarian.
By nature.
The Olympic gold medal must be made from what? A, solid gold, B, at least 92.5 silver and 7.5 gold, 50 silver and 50 gold, or at least 5%
gold. 5%
gold.
Maybe 50-50.
I know 50. It's not solid.
I'm going 50-50.
Solid. Yeah, they're always doing the bite, though. That's always
Yeah, because there's a little in there.
At least 92.5 silver and 7.5 gold for the coloring.
Oh, wow. Okay, so mostly silver.
Yeah. Mostly silver. You learned something new, Sparky. All right, this one I got wrong today. Not that I got the other ones right. Which country always comes first in the Parade of Nations during each Olympic opening ceremony? Is it the USA, the UK, Greece, or the host country?
Greece. Host country.
No,
host.
It's always Greece.
Host country.
What, really?
Think about it, man.
No, I always feel like Greece comes out first because they're the...
No.
All right.
Well, you always feel like Greece comes out first? Because that's what they do.
Yes, yeah, see?
Gosh, Greece is the correct answer.
What? That's wild.
Yeah, they were the first, I guess.
I thought it might be alphabetical or something agrarian like that.
All right, the Summer and the Winter Games used to be held in the same year. When did this last occur? 76, 88, 92, or 96?
Not 88.
76.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
What year?
The first one.
1976, 1988, 1992, or 1996?
76.
76.
Yeah.
Spirit of 76 was a great song by The Alarm, also the bicentennial of the United States of America, celebrated in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, and many other parts of the country. But the correct answer is 1992.
What?
Yeah. Hmm. All right. Here's another name that I'm going to mispronounce, but that's the way we roll. The International Olympic Committee was founded in 1894 by Pierre de Coubertin. Where is it based? New York. France. Switzerland, Geneva. Greece, or France?
France. Switzerland, right?
Pierre, dude. France. He said his name was Pierre. But
there's some French people in Switzerland.
It's Switzerland.
I feel like it should be Switzerland.
Mark's determined.
I'm just going to stick with France because Pierre. That would be
Ben is rebellious.
I'm going to Switzerland. That,
his name's Pierre. That's not rebellious.
Right. That's true. It's Switzerland.
Yeah.
Okay.
Lucerne, Switzerland, to be exact.
Not Geneva.
Okay.
Which country has won the most medals in the Olympics since the first Olympic Games in 1986?
America.
No?
I'd guess America.
USA, Soviet Union, China, or the UK?
USA.
I'm going to USA.
We got to go USA.
Yeah, you got to go USA. Yeah, that's correct. Which Olympic Games were the first in the world to be televised? 1936 Munich, 1948 London, 1960 Rome, or 1964 Tokyo?
The German one. The show.
50s. What did you say?
48 was London. Third, 36 was Munich.
36. Yes.
Oh, strong on Munich.
Because of Contact, the movie, you know.
Wow. 1936 Munich is correct. Yeah. All right. Final question. Nice. Jesse Owens became the star of the 1936 Olympics, but how many gold medals did he win? Two gold and two silver. Four gold. Three golds and one silver. Six gold.
Ooh.
Shoot.
3-1.
Really? I don't know.
3-1?
Can you win six
golds?
Can you win six in one Olympics?
Just take a guess here.
Let's say four gold.
All right, Ben, good guess. Four gold is the correct answer.
That wasn't a guess.
All right, well, that's what I thought. You guys did fantastic. We had a tie, a three-way tie. How crazy is that? All right, coming up next, we hope you did okay in your car, at home, or wherever you were watching. Things that make us smile. Things that make us smile to wrap up the episode. First of all, we always have to mention all our great guests so far. We've got the parent. Now we've broken it down. It's Compass. I think it's Compass.
It's fine. I think it's
that tomato tomato.
It's a regional difference.
Compass.
What?
Yeah.
I'm going to ask the ladies.
It's not tomato tomato. It's definitely the wrong pronunciation.
You've clearly been saying it your whole life.
It's just an East Coast thing.
It's not like you made it up.
Put some cologne on it and you'll be fine.
All right. Well, our guests and our interviewees and interviewers and listeners make me happy. We want to thank all of you. You can find us on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, all the good stuff. Our website's coming in 2029, so we'll have that ready to go. The main thing that made me smile this week was it was my 11-year-old's birthday.
Heck yeah, man.
And I've developed this awful habit of starting the week out. It's the birthday week. Now, with mine, I do a whole kind of birthday count-in. We've already talked about this. But it was very enjoyable letting him have choice foods, pick a movie a night, you know, and kind of have a fun week with him, all culminating in your great suggestion, which was renting out a theater, which people are still doing.
It's a bargain.
And, yeah, we all went and saw Space Jam. We had, like, 13 of his buddies there, and it was chaos. But when you have 13 11-year-olds in a theater, it's an experience.
My family was gone for a month. I was hoping to get invited. Didn't get the invite.
Oh, well,
just sit there. I was going to do, and I'll do anything.
He could have come. We had popcorn. And we snuck treats in like Chris suggested.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We don't play by the rules.
Out on the air.
And as we record, it's July 29th, and we are 1 month away till the pumpkin spice latte is served.
Oh, my gosh.
And
gosh.
That makes me smile. No. All things pumpkin. Go away, summer. I'm done.
Shameless. Yeah, you're ready, dude. You're all nuzzled in already.
Mark's getting excited over there.
Mark? Oh, boy.
Halloween? What? No.
Oh, yeah. Your big day's around the corner.
Yeah, yeah. Halloween's coming up. No, what made me smile? You know, I took a trip over the weekend for a sad event, a funeral of my youngest godmother, but I took my 11-year-old with me, and she missed your son's birthday party, which she was very sad about. However, being able to travel with one of your kids when you've got four is a unique experience, and we just had a really good time hanging out, just the two of us. We were dressed up on a couple of occasions and going out to dinner to a nice she found a steakhouse. I had her using my phone, and I was like, you know, you're going to map us places. You're going to find us places to eat.
Wow.
And so, you know, we were just rolling around, and it was a intense experience emotionally because of the situation, but we made a good time out of it. And my daughter makes me smile, and she's always a good time to go hang out and ride around with. So,
all righty,
mine is kind of the same thing because my wife was out of town on at a golf tournament with my youngest, so I was alone with my older daughter, and we got to hang out and watch the rest of Alone.
That's
so good.
Hanging out, you know, eating late, and then going to our favorite restaurants because she's got, like, you know, she's the one that doesn't eat anything, so going to all the places that she likes to go. But that was really fun, and yeah, they're doing good. They both, like, got some wins under the belt too, and brought home some hardware and everything. So yeah,
that's awesome, man.
Made me happy.
Besides your wife's stellar margarita, which was the best I've had in a long time.
Are you wasting away again in Margaritaville over there?
Dude, that was amazing.
Are you searching for your lost shaker?
Is that normal for you? Is that normal for you to drink that type of margarita? That's amazing.
What a 9 a.m. margaritas.
Besides that, my family did get home yesterday after a month away, and that's not the best part. It was that my middle kid, who I can't get a cuddle out of for anything, like, just please, just, I'm very, like, my love language is definitely touch. I'm always trying to, you know, give me a hug, please, just one. But she was so tired, she passed out in my arms.
Nice.
We were watching TV. Cuddle. I was like, involuntary. You know, she just had she was forced to cuddle because she was just like, whoa. Yeah, she passed out on the couch. It's like, oh, there we go. That's what it feels like.
That's solid.
That's what it feels like.
Yeah, that was kind of funny. It made me smile, so I actually got a cuddle from her. She had no choice. Yeah.
Sweet.
Well, things happen in mysterious ways, but you're all here with us, and that's something to smile about, too. Mm-hmm. All right, well, thank you for bearing with us for our non-Olympic episode. We hope you had a nice time. We hope you have a great couple weeks. We'll catch you soon. We do have our next Dad Time Out conversations coming up with the parent Compass. I've read the book. I'm ready for questions. Oh, I'm going to take some questions from you guys and our listeners, too. But we'll talk about that on the gram and Twitter and stuff like that. Have a great day, everybody, wherever you're listening. We appreciate the heck out of you. And thank you very much. We're the Dad Timeout Show, and we're out of here. Cheers.
Have a good week.
Thanks for listening to the Dad Timeout Show. We're out of here. We've been listening to you talk for an hour.
My turn! Hey, everybody. Thanks for listening to our Time Out Show. And we're out of here.